Hello, I'm Alice Arnold, and welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking to Tyrone Huntley, and if you'd like to hear other podcasts in the series, why not go to iTunes or magic.co.uk/podcasts, where you can download them. Well, welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre podcast. I am sitting in the studio with Tyrone Huntley and four cupcakes. Tyrone has rejected a cupcake because he's on a detox.
I have. I mean, I wish I could have some, but unfortunately for now, I have to be good.
Would you like me to move them out of your eye line?
Please, That'd be very distracting. Thank you.
Put them over there.
Thank you.
Now, Tyrone Huntley, who is, well, going to be currently starring mm-hmm. in Jesus Christ Superstar at Regent's Park Open Air Theatre. You won the Evening Standard, you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You won the Evening Standard Emerging Talent Award and you were nominated for an Olivier Award and a What's On Stage Award. Mm-hmm. So the role of Judas, which you're playing in Jesus Christ, is quite successful for you, you would say.
It's been a really, really crazy year that's been unexpected, but I've had so much fun and the things that have come from it from last year have been so amazing that I just couldn't really pass up the opportunity to do it again, really.
Yeah, because so we should explain that this was on last summer at Regent's Park. That's when you were nominated for all the awards, and then you're going back to do it again this summer with some new people and some of the original cast.
Yeah, so the majority of the principal cast is the same, but we've got new people playing Mary and Simon and Caiaphas, who are all amazing. And then I think the majority of the ensemble are different this year. So while I'm here now, they're all in the studio learning all the choreography and music and stuff. So
and you know it all. So you
can sit back and relax. I can just turn up on the first night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know this, folks. It's fine. Right, let's rewind the clock a bit. Born in Lincoln?
Yes.
How did you get into musical theatre or any sort of theatre, really?
Well, when I was growing up from a young age, pretty much as soon as I was born, I was singing. Like, it was something that I really enjoyed to do, listening to, you know, Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder and Whitney Houston and just singing along and dancing around the living room. And it was just something that I really, really enjoyed. I was never really very athletic or into sports or anything. So my parents sort of pushed me into doing drama and music, clubs at school and things like that. And it was just something, it was just a hobby that I really enjoyed doing. I never really took it seriously as a career option. It was just something that I could do in my spare time and, you know, meet friends and that kind of thing.
And were your family musical? Did they?
No,
you
know, not really.
Kind of
no. I say not really, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah. No one has done this before in my family. So it was sort of unusual that I would eventually come to be in this industry. Yeah.
So then you went to train at Mountview.
Yes.
And you did the music. You did the musical theatre course there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you also like your straight acting as well, don't you?
I do. I haven't actually done any straight acting professionally yet, but hopefully soon.
Well, we'll talk about that later. Yeah. I mean, do you think going to drama school is kind of essential if you want to break into the business now?
I think that it's useful to have as much training as possible. You know, there are so many skills that are available to when people are putting on shows. There are so many people who have a vast variety of skills that it just makes sense to go to somewhere where you can learn all of them and try and be the best at all of them. And drama school is a really great place to sort of hone your craft, as it were. That said, I know so many people in the industry that haven't trained, and it's one of those jobs where you can train on the job. You get your first job, you learn people, you learn from the people who have been doing it for years, and you can make decisions on how you want to progress your career by learning from the people that are working. Mm. So I think it depends on what's right for you. It depends on your the way that you learn, I suppose.
Yeah, and also drama schools kind of give you the facility maybe to get an agent, or they can
that's,
see
I think
the
that's,
shows, and that's probably one of its most important functions.
Absolutely. I think that's a major positive to going to drama school, because, you know, industry people, casting directors, agents, they'll come to the showcase and they'll see you, and that's sort of where, well, that's how I got into it, you know, that's where I met my agent.
So you got an agent from doing one of the showcases at Mountview,
yeah,
and they picked you up and we flu ever since. Was straight away you got your...
Pretty much. I from Showcase, actually. So in third year, when I was there, we did three musicals that were open to the public and then a showcase at the end. And it was at Showcase where I was seen by the casting director for Sister Act, which was my first job. So I was called in to audition for Sister Act. And I actually started the Sister Act audition process before I signed with my agent. And then towards the end of it, that's when I signed. And then it sort of went from there.
Tumbled from there.
Yeah, yeah.
So Sister Act, Book of Mormon. What's your favourite job so far of the ones you've done?
That is a difficult question. All of them have been, you know, brilliant. And I've learned so much over the years. Jesus Christ Superstar has been a job that I don't think was ever in my mind would ever have happened to me, or the role. I never thought that I'd ever be able to play Judas. So that's special in its own right. It's also the first role that I've ever played that's non-race specific. So that's quite a big deal for me. But I think...
Well, because the other roles were particularly for black actors.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and... yeah. I'd go into the audition...
Judas is often played by black actors.
Yeah, it was played by Carl Anderson and Ben Vereen on Broadway. But it's not, you know, it's not written for a black performer. So, that was quite important for me at this point in my career to sort of branch out from roles that are just for black guys.
Yeah, and do you think the profession, we've talked to a lot of people about this, and whether you think the profession is... getting more diverse, is more open to casting people, you know, colorblind as it were, and just casting people because they're the best person for the job.
Yeah.
Do you think it's improving?
It's definitely improving for sure. When I was at drama school, there really wasn't, musical wise, there really wasn't a lot of, there really weren't a lot of options for me for when I left. I think when I was there, Lion King was in town, obviously, and Shrek, where Donkey was played by Richard Blackwood originally. And then other than that, there weren't really any musicals that I could see myself in. That said, once I left, they all started to come over and, you know, Sister Act happened and Book of Mormon happened and Memphis and all that kind of thing. So it's definitely improved since before I graduated. But I feel what the challenge is now is it's that thing of giving opportunities to people regardless of their race, as opposed to because they're, you know, BAME or whatever. I've done a lot of shows where the cast is, like Memphis, the story was about racism in the 50s and rock and roll in America. And, you know, Book of Mormon was set in Uganda, so I was playing... You know, so, but it would be really, really, I think what's necessary now is for stories to be written where race isn't necessarily even mentioned and it's just about people, human beings and relationships and things like that. And I think that's the next step.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're playing a person who happens to be black.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a person where being black
is the
essential part of the story.
And of course, it will inform decisions that are made within the piece and the audience will get certain, you know, different feelings towards the characters and different feelings towards the relationships in the piece. But I think from a foundation, it just needs to be about human beings, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's a really interesting thing I found out about you. You've been studying law your spare time.
Yes. It seems so long ago now. But going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, me getting into theatre, when I was younger, my goal in life really was to become a lawyer. It was always, you know, I was going to go to law school and, you know, maybe be a barrister. Don't know if
I'm
clever enough for that.
I was going to ask, but... be a barrister. Yeah.
That was the dream.
Acting and being a barrister, you know, quite a lot of similarities in that thing.
You know, it's all a performance. So that was the ultimate goal. But then when I was 16, my drama teachers at school sort of encouraged me to apply to drama school, which I did, and surprisingly got in. I didn't think I would, and I did, and I got a scholarship as well. So decision was sort of made for me. But once I started working, in the back of my mind, it was always like, "What could you have done it? Would you have been able to hack it, as it were?" So I decided to do what's called a graduate diploma in law through the University of Huddersfield, and it was all distance learning, so it was you know, self-taught and online tutorials and things like that. And that was over 2 years, and basically it was just 2 years of really hard work, reading a lot, you know, essay writing, exams and things like that. And it was, you know, I learned so much, and it was very, very difficult, but I feel like it was very valuable as an experience, and I got a distinction at the end of it. So, you know, and just even getting, I mean, I've got the certificate, and I haven't, because I've been busy since, I haven't really been able to do anything more with it, because, you know, you can train more and do other courses and things like that. But just having that certificate there, knowing that I did it, I actually could do it, I was able to do it, and yeah. And I, you know, worked hard.
Well, you didn't pick an easy one. You didn't.
No,
pick,
it wasn't.
There are easier subjects.
There are.
Than law. Because, yes. I mean, there's so much casework to look at and so much stuff to learn. Like, you know, you can't make it up.
Yeah, no, you
like
can't.
Like you can with you a lot of subjects.
Everything.
You can't do it
all the cases and with the different modules, you had to learn different cases for different modules. And some of them crossed over. So that was very, very confusing. And yeah, it was very difficult.
And all
very
on your own as well, without a sort of support network of other students around you.
Yeah.
So I think that would be hard.
Yeah, I think, though, I work better like that, because I can just focus and there's no, you know, with teachers and stuff, there's split attention, whereas I was on my own, so I could read, you know, if I didn't understand something the first time, I could go over it again and really concentrate on that bit. And if I got something the first time, I could know that I could leave that to go back to in revision and things like that. So I could sort of tailor it to my needs more because I was on my own. Mm. So that was actually quite useful.
But now you're way too successful as a musical theatre actor to do anything with the law thing. So you can't be a barrister. You could play a barrister,
I will play a barrister
one day. That's what you've got to do. You've just got to play. There's so many crime dramas on the television nowadays. Yeah. So they must be crying out for people to play the barrister who actually might know a little bit about what they're talking
about.
It would be perfect
Sign me
for
up.
You. That's it. You're going to be a barrister in the next big telly crime drama. So that's I'm going to put you up for that.
Brilliant.
I don't know who I'm going to talk to. I'll think of somebody.
Well, we'll find someone.
Yes, we'll find someone. Let's go back to Regent's Park and Jesus Christ Superstar, which is outside, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Do you rehearse outside or do you rehearse
inside? No, we rehearse inside until we get to the theatre and start technical rehearsals, which is when we're outside from then on, really.
So you don't practice with people like throwing buckets of water at you to simulate rain?
That is actually a very, very good idea. I'm going to suggest that when I go in next.
Yeah.
But no, we don't do that so far. So once we do get to the theatre, it is a bit of a shock to the system. Before Jesus Christ Superstar, I'd actually worked there before on Porgy and Bess, which was an incredible, incredible job. And, you know, performing outside for the first time, you sort of, it's a shock to the system. The weather, the animals, planes flying over, you know, it's a lot to contend with. But I think that's also part of what makes it so special. You're sort of vulnerable to everything that's going on and yeah, it's very, very different, very different.
But I love that moment when you go to Regent's Park when it gets dark.
Yes.
And, you know, because you start in the light always, don't you? Absolutely. And then suddenly everyone's going, oh, look, it's dark.
And
there's twinkly light.
They always choose the perfect shows that sort of, it really matches the everything that's going on stage. Like in this show, Act Two is a lot darker than Act One. And it's really special how the atmosphere changes along with the story.
Yeah. Now, is this true? Is the production going to Chicago next year, did I read?
Yes, it is.
And are you going?
I'm not going with it.
You're not going to Chicago?
No.
Jane's going to Chicago. What are you what are you going to do when it's all... Because last year you went into Dreamgirls, didn't you? In the gap between basically doing... But that's not a bad gig, is it?
You do
Jesus Christ Superstar in the summer and Dreamgirls in the winter.
Yeah,
Will you go back to Dreamgirls? Or...
I don't think so. I'm sort of... everything's sort of a bit up in the air at the minute. I don't really know what I'm doing after Jesus Christ Superstar. Which is good because I can concentrate fully on this and enjoy it. And also it sort of means that I'm available to do other things if they come along. I loved Dreamgirls. It was one of my favourite jobs that I've ever done and the company was amazing. But I knew I was doing Dreamgirls whilst I was doing Jesus Christ Superstar. So, you know, with everything that happened with Jesus Christ Superstar, so many people came and, you know, is he available to do this? And I was like, no, I'm going to do Dreamgirls. So So hopefully, you know, there'll be interest. Hopefully, after I've done.
What would be
Jesus
your
Christ.
Dream job?
I don't really have one. I'd love to do, as we were talking about earlier, I'd love to do a straight play, sometime soon, and you know, maybe go into TV and film at some point.
Yeah, I was going to, because has all your work really has been
stage
work?
It's all been musical theatre so far since I graduated. And, it would be nice to have the opportunity to sort of branch out and try new things, even though musical theatre's, you know, been great for me. And I always want to make sure that I stay true to my roots, as it were. But I think I'd like to sort of branch out and see what's out there as well.
So if what would be your favourite song from a musical? If you like... were standing on the stage at Covent Garden and you could sing one.
From a musical?
Yeah.
Any musical?
Actually, no, maybe not from a musical. Would you pick one that wasn't from a musical?
Well, no, I don't know why I said that. I'm just trying to think of musicals. So any musical?
Anyone.
Wow.
Old, new?
That's difficult. That's a very, very difficult question. I think... having been in shows like Dreamgirls and Porgy and Bess, and watching people like Amber Riley sing such massive numbers and really owning it and enjoying singing it, I'd love to sing a, you know, And I'm Telling You or something like that. It's such a powerful song that I've been able to listen to so many times. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to sort of try and recreate that for myself, because so probably something like that.
That'd be brilliant to see you doing that.
Yeah, maybe one day it'll happen.
Yeah. If you could be a character, they were going to be stumped by this one too.
Right.
If you could be a character from any musical, I don't mean play a character, I mean
be a character.
Who would you?
Oh, crikey.
Don't say Jesus, because I think that's kind of weird. I hadn't even just thought of that. That would be a bit odd. If you said that.
What characters are there? Really, I want someone who's really, like, powerful.
Yes, what really? Would you like that character? Yeah, think of how you'd like the character to be to start with.
Let me think. I'm going through all the Shakespeare's in my head as well, and I'm thinking, no, they die at the end. That's not very good.
You want strong and powerful.
Strong,
you don't want kind
powerful,
of young,
you know, but fun
funny,
as well.
Funny,
maybe not
important?
Even funny, but that has someone who has fun. Mm-hmm. But wow, that is a difficult question. Can we come back to it?
Yeah, we can, but we're nearly at the end.
Oh, brilliant. One for the next one.
Okay. So, and your favourite, just your favourite musical of all time.
My favourite musical of all time is West Side Story. And I'm absolutely devastated that because of the story, unless they change it up a little bit, I probably won't be able to be in it.
Well, why can't you play Tony? I don't understand why you couldn't.
I think because if it was set in a different time, because
it's the Puerto Ricans.
So you know, the subject matter is a little bit, based on the race and where the people come from. But you know, if they changed it up a little bit, kept the music, but changed the story maybe.
I think it would need a lot of change.
Well,
I don't think.
Again, we'll find someone. We'll find someone who can adapt it.
Yeah, you could be Tony, or what's the name of the other gang leader? Because that's also a great part.
Bernardo.
Yes, Bernardo. Yes. You could play Bernardo.
Yeah.
By the time it happens, you might be playing the old man that runs the.
Exactly. Well, who knows? Who knows?
So you open on the 11th of August.
11th of August.
Regent's Park. Well, hope for sunny evenings.
I hope so too. Yes. However, the rain. When it rains, it adds something completely different. And it's really quite fun because you're not wearing your own clothes and you don't have to worry about, you know, drying.
You haven't got
to
go home in them.
No. So it's a lot of fun. So a few rainy days here and there would be absolutely fine.
You don't mind that?
Yeah. No. As long as it's not torrential and, you know, pouring it down.
And you run until?
We run until the 23rd of September.
Okay.
Yeah.
So which point the evenings are getting darker September, aren't they?
So
you're probably starting almost in the dark.
Yeah. So that would be different as well.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see it. I am coming to see it.
Excellent.
I can't
wait.
And lots and lots of luck with the run.
Thank you very much.
And whatever happens afterwards.
Thank you.
That was the Musicals and Theatre podcast. And if you enjoyed that, then why not subscribe? It's absolutely free to our channel on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also hear me every weekend morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic.